song. Have we sung that before? Once before. That's
a great song. I love that song. Oh, man. Turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at Acts chapter 3, continuing with the Easter story, believe it or not. The Easter account is actually Easter in Romania. They celebrate Easter this weekend in Romania. So happy Easter, everybody, and probably other parts of the world. I think it's something to do with being Orthodox Church. So our Rebecca over in Romania and Dominion Church, they're celebrating Easter today. So if you want to send a message to our Rebecca, if you've got her number, say, happy Easter, Rebecca. Acts chapter 3. Before we read Acts chapter 3, I believe God wants to do some deep things in people this morning. Don't let the cold put you off. Keep your coats on. But God's got something that he wants to warm you with today. He wants to really warm you with today from the inside out. God wants to do something in some people's lives this morning because it's time. It's time for you. I really feel that as I was preparing this talk this morning. And it's time for me too.
Amen.
Amen. It's time for me too. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says this, I will build my church. I will build my church. Jesus says, I will do it. I will build my church. How exciting is that? Have you ever seen those drag cars? You know the drag cars when they're like, they've got these long noses and they're sort of set, they start off with a wheel spinning like that. And it's funny, you've probably been to see some of these, Steve, haven't you? And they're spinning like crazy. And there's apparently 90% nitromethane, 10% methanol, 340 miles an hour. I was doing 50 miles an hour on a country road and Adrian said, slow down, slow down. Can you imagine 340 miles an hour? What kind of reaction will we get then down St. Helens Road? 340 miles an hour, 1,100 horsepower. And what I love about this, I discovered nitromethane has got within it, it's got the fuel and it's also got molecules of oxygen because you need oxygen for combustion. It's exciting when you think of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? When you think of the fuel and the air, this is the air we breathe. And we think of the Holy Spirit as coming like a floaty thing, 340 miles an hour. I just have that sense where Jesus says, I will build my church. And Peter's there. And Peter witnesses Jesus saying that. And then in the next minute, they're going up the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus is glorified. And there's Moses, there's Elijah. And Peter's witnessing this, and it's almost like these drag car wheels are starting to go like that. You know, there's just that building up of the what's going to happen next, what's going to happen next. And that excitement that Peter must have been feeling. And then Jesus goes into Jerusalem, and they're singing, Hosanna to the Son of David, and he's going into Jerusalem as a king. And the wheels are spinning like that. Wow, you know, just the tension I love. Just YouTube some drag cars. And it's absolutely brilliant. And what's interesting for me as I was researching drag car, I'm not going to get into drag car. I know I've retired, but drag car racing is not going to be one of my hobbies. But I was saying, what conditions do you reach the best speeds at? And you reach the best speeds when the conditions are dry. Does anybody feel dry? Does anybody feel dry? Wait and see what God is going to do. With you. Oh, Lord. Because we've all been dry, haven't we? We've all had moments. We've all had times when we felt those distances. Does anybody feel dry? 340 miles an hour. And the wheels are spinning and the wheels are spinning. I remember being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was about 40-odd years ago, and I've shared this last week, I think, last week. And it was just like Adrian was saying as well. It's just like everything changed. I can remember standing up and preaching in a church and somebody coming to me said, there's something different about you. Let's read Acts chapter 3 because between Jesus saying, I will build my church, and Acts chapter 3, Jesus dies. How is he going to build the church when he's dead? And there is Peter. And Peter is there by the warming his hands by the fire. And he sees his friend, his rabbi, his Messiah. He said he was the Messiah. being tortured and abused and publicly humiliated on a cross and dying. And somebody says, didn't you know him? And Peter says, no, I didn't know him. And do you know what? There's an element there of complete fear in Peter. But there's also, and I think there's an element of confusion. I thought he was the king. I thought he was going to establish the kingdom. I thought he was going to make everything right. And there he is on the cross dying. Do you know this Jesus? I don't think I know him anymore. Who is he? Because when they came to arrest him in the garden and Peter chops off the ear of the servant, remember that, with the sword, and Jesus heals him, and Jesus just lets them take him, and he could have called down a host of angels, and he could have opened up the ground and swallowed them up, and he just lets them take him. And Peter follows thinking something's going to happen here. And Jesus is stood in front of Caiaphas, the high priest, and they're asking him questions. And Jesus is 1 minute saying nothing. And Peter's seen him destroy people with words, you know, just like really best people. You know, when you best somebody. Jesus is great at besting people. And he's just silent. And then he says things which just inflame the high priest. And inflame the people. Say, Peter, what are you doing? And then he sees, from a distance, Jesus being stripped and being whipped and being nailed to a cross. And Peter's thinking, at what point is something going to happen? No, I don't know this Jesus. They take him down off a cross and they bury him in a tomb and they roll a stone across the tomb. Peter's thinking. And Peter's hiding away. You know, I can imagine what it is to be in places like Afghanistan or and Iran or you know, many parts of North Korea, many parts of this world where you're a person of faith but hiding away. I can understand that Peter must have felt so much like that. They've crucified the one I was following. Now they're going to come for me. And then 3 days later, I love that he appeared to the women first, and he appeared to the women. And Jesus rose from the dead. And it all seemed nonsense until Peter met him. Can you imagine that? This drag car that had stalled. It was like, off we go. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus says the most frustrating thing that Peter could ever have possibly heard. Jesus, and Tom's going to be speaking to a degree on this in a little while. He says, wait, but you've just risen from the dead. Okay, you've just risen from the dead. How can we wait? And he says, wait. Well, why does he say wait? He says, wait for the promised Holy Spirit. And we're going to get into the promised Holy Spirit at another point, but I just want to go leapfrog right into Acts chapter 3 because we've been thinking about the church. And I love Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I love that kind of like they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the breaking of bread and the sharing everything in common and the miracles and the signs and the wonders and the Lord added to their numbers daily. And I love the passage where Peter stands up and he's filled with the Holy Spirit and 3,000 were added to their number that day. I love those passages. But I want to go to Acts chapter 3 because we're talking about the church. This for me is an amazing, beautiful, astounding passage. So Acts chapter 3, and we're just going to do verses 1 to 10, and then I'm going to do part 2 in about 4 weeks' time. And let me just read it. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us.
So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Wow. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them, listen to this, into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Verse 9, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. I just want to draw out a few points from this passage, and some of them I think are very relevant to us here right now. First of all, Peter and John are here, and they are busy people. I don't know if anybody in here is busy. I've been busy. I'm not busy anymore. For much longer, well, fell then. Not much longer. But has anybody ever been busy? Because I have been busy. Okay. We know what it is to be busy, don't we? Yeah. We know what it is to work through the middle of the night on the next Star Trek episode. We know what it is to be busy. And Peter and John were right in the middle of a revival. I mean, 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow, that's exponential, isn't it? And there becomes Peter and John, and they're walking off to the temple courts where they used to meet every day at the busiest time of the day, 3 o'clock, at the ninth hour. And they're going along, and they're probably having a chat about what they're going to be talking about, what they're going to be doing, direction of the church, how to help the poor, pastoral situations, whatever they're talking about. Peter and John, they're going along, and they go past this guy that probably they've been past 100 times before. And possibly Jesus went past as well. And here's this guy who sat there. He's 40 years old, we know. 40 years old, lame from birth. And he sat there at the Beautiful Gate. He's a bit savvy because he knows that's the busiest time of the day. So he's put there and he's just asking. He's asking for money. He's existing. It's so easy to get distracted by the busyness of life that we don't notice what's around us. We can get distracted by the things of God from the things of God. Sometimes ministry and church or life itself or family can distract us from the things of God. You know, sometimes, we can be so caught up in what God did say or what we want God to say that we don't hear what God is saying. I know sometimes when I'm having a conversation with Adrienne, and I've just got so much happening in my mind. You know, I'm thinking about the last thing Adrienne said or what I said, or thinking about what I'm going to be saying next to Adrienne in response to something that she said at the beginning of the sentence. I suddenly realize I've got no idea what she's just said. and then the dreaded moment, because I think she knows. She can look in my eyes and she knows after nearly 40 years of marriage. She asks me a question. And then I have a choice at that point. You either try and bluff your way through it, or you just confess, oh, sorry, I switched off for a minute there. And the trouble when you're married to somebody with the gift of discernment, there is no place to hide. You just have to confess, don't you? Lord, we confess there are times when we don't actually know what you're saying right now to us. And God wants to speak to you now. He's got something he's saying to you now. Right at this moment, now. And it can take you by surprise. You know, there have been times when God has just done that with me. And Peter and John are stopped. I believe they are stopped by the Holy Spirit. This person they've passed hundreds of times before, it's called out. I believe the Holy Spirit just in Peter's heart just stops him. And I wonder, are we in a place where God can interrupt us? Can we hear the prompts of the Holy Spirit? I don't think it was just simply Peter noticing. I think it's that God was pointing out this person to Peter. I mean, there were times when, as a head teacher, you know, you go back and I'm in this process now of processing and reflecting and going back and thinking about stuff. And, you know, times on the playground when I just happen to be in the right place just before a fight breaks out. And you're kind of like, and okay, lads, how are you getting on? All that kind of stuff. Or just that email that you kind of think, okay, I'm just going to get in touch with that person. And it just happens to be that, has it ever happened to you? Yeah. Happens to be the right time that you've contacted that person? Happens to be. And the Holy Spirit is leading and directing. It's happening more than you realize. More than you realize. Let's wake up a little bit to what God is saying and doing. It says here in John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said to the disciples, "The Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, "You yourselves are God's temple. God's Spirit dwells in your midst." If you don't know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not sure, then I'd love to pray with you a bit later on for you to know the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's transformed my life and it has helped me through. So Holy Spirit is, I love him. Do you love the Holy Spirit? Do you speak to the Holy Spirit? Do you listen to the Holy Spirit? So beautiful. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. Is when one of the most wonderful passages in the scriptures is when God makes man. And it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says that God formed man from the dust of the ground. And then it says this, "And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." I mean, have you ever had anybody breathe into your nostrils? Just turn to the person next to you and breathe into their nostrils. No. It just feels so intimate, doesn't it? So close. And God breathes into the breath of love. And it says, "And he became a living being." But we get to Genesis chapter 3. And we see in Genesis chapter 3, it's called the fall of mankind. And we see Adam and Eve choosing not to do what God has asked them to do. And there's a whole theology and sermon around that where I'd love to get into. But what happens is this, that then there is a consequence to what they've chosen, to their unhealthy choice. And one of the consequences is stated by God to Adam. And he says to Adam, he says, "Dust you are. And to dust you will return." And there is no mention of the breath of life until Acts chapter 2. And then we see the filling of the Holy Spirit. We see living beings taken off. And so, you know, we talk about visitations. I don't want visitations. I want habitations. I want us to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you don't know it, then just, because the reality is this, and you might struggle with this, that we are in the place, and we are the place where heaven touches earth. We are the place where heaven touches earth, and we don't feel like we are. I don't know if I've messed up more times than I would care to mention. And I say messed up is kind of like is a nice way of saying sinned and made massive mistakes and hurt people. And things that I can't bring myself to tell you about. And you have that as well, I'm sure. And we have all been like Peter. And we have all sat there warming our hands by the fire while we've seen Jesus crucified on the cross. And the beautiful thing is this, in John's gospel, we see Peter sitting by a fire with Jesus. And it's the same Greek word for fire as the Greek word for fire when Jesus denied him. He sits by the fire having breakfast with Jesus. And Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me?" Three times. And the title in my gospel is Jesus Reinstates Peter. And I felt this morning that God wants to reinstate some people. God wants to reinstate some people this morning. I'd love to pray with some people because God wants to reinstate you. God wants to reinstate you this morning. And Peter could have carried that shame and that guilt with him for the rest of his life. He could have felt the sorrow and the humiliation of what he did, that he denied Jesus, but Jesus reinstates Peter. And God has reinstated me more times than I care to mention. I've been reinstated by him because he is so loving. He is so merciful. He is so faithful. He is so wonderful. And so we see Peter here, and he says this amazing thing. He says to the lame beggar, calls out to Peter and John, asking for something. But clearly he then looks away. So it kind of like he's not really thinking that he's going to get anything. And this is what makes me think that maybe he's done it before. And he just kind of looks away. And we know that because Peter has to say to him, "Look at us. Look at us." And Peter doesn't say, "Look at me." He says, "Look at us." Homothumadon, my favorite Greek word, of one accord. Of one accord. And the same word that's used in Acts chapter 2 when they were praying together in homothumadon, of one accord. Look at us. You know, I think God is doing something brilliant in the church at the moment. He's bringing the church together. Wasn't it good at the Good Friday service when we're all together at the clock tower? And there was almost every church and was represented there either by the leaders or the ministers or there's people from the congregations. And how good is that? Homothumadon, when the church comes together, something is released of God into a community. And I believe God has called us here with the other churches for Ormskirk to show and demonstrate his love. And Peter says, "Look at us." I don't believe he just meant me and John. I think he meant me, John, and God. Look at us. Look at us. Peter says to him, "I haven't got silver, and I haven't got gold, and I haven't got anything that you want, but what I have got is what you need. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And when Jesus reaches out through us, more happens than we can imagine. Because when Peter said, "Walk," what did that mean for this man? Because like for us, it's like physically walk. And he got up and he walked. Fantastic. But for this man who had been lame from 40 years, who had to be carried to this place outside of the temple, outside of the presence of God, watching all these people walk backwards and forwards, wondering, "I wonder what it's like inside there." And I'm sure there were lots of people that were very generous to him, but there would be others who would have spat on him. And there would be others who would have despised him, and others who would have looked down on him. And who was it who sinned? Was it you or your mother or your father or your grandfather? Look at you. Look at what God has done to you. And he would have been there looking up at people. He would have disappeared. Unseen. Everybody looking down on him. And Peter says, "Walk." Can you imagine what it was like for him to stand up? Peter takes him by the right hand, and at last he can look people in the eye. Whose hand are you going to take? Whose hand are you going to take? I'm going to pause. Whose hand are you going to take and say, walk free from limits, free from the past, free from hurt, free from shame, free from being despised, free from your low expectations? Walk. Taking him by the right hand, it says, he jumped up and he walked into the temple courts, into the presence of God. And it doesn't stop there, because then it explodes. Because he walks and he jumps and he praises into the temple. And it tells us this, that all the people saw him. All the people saw him. And I'd love to get into part two of my talk, because as a result of this, amazing things happen. I mean, you can read it for yourself, but amazing things happen. But I'm actually gonna leave it there, hanging on an edge. And then it explodes. Lift up one head and you will lift 1,000. Lift up one heart, you will lift 1,000. Heal one person, you will heal 1,000. And I've known that in my, you know, it's like it was strange the last week as head teacher, and I've been sort of teaching for 34 years and 14 years in the same school, a beautiful school, and I messaged my deputy head this morning, who's taken over from me, and I just said, you're amazing, you'll do a great job, and she's messaged me back, yeah, I'm really nervous, but all those kind of things. But in that last week, it was like going to my own funeral. So it was so good, because I got all these lovely cards off people and lovely letters off people. And I was going to, and Jan said I should have done, but I was going to bring some of them and read out to you, but they're quite personal, some of them. But it was like people were saying thank you to me. But then beyond that, they were saying about their families. And I kind of thought, you know, And the reason I share that with you is because every single day I drove into work thinking, I can't do this. Do you know, has anybody ever had imposter syndrome? I'm no good at this. But when I went for the interview, I said, God, don't give me this job unless I can do it. So I've clung to that. And all glory to God, because I got to this point and I said, Lord, I want to finish well. And it's just been so beautiful. I've got this lovely picture here. Look at that. It's by one of my teaching assistants in school, called Charlotte. And she, isn't that good? It's really cool, that. How good. It's just a rabbit. There's no religious significance to it. It's just a rabbit. But it's so beautiful. But that means a lot to me, because with it came a letter. And, it touched my heart, the letter that she sent to me. Because her husband died while her son was in my school, and we gave her a job. And she said, it saved my life. And I thought, how often do you get told that? And it's so... What you do in your workplace, what you do in your workplace, what you do in your neighborhood, what you do in your family, it matters. It matters so much. And I didn't really realize that until that last week. Doesn't matter how rubbish you think you are at what you do. If you come with the love of Jesus Christ, and if you come close to him and with him and filled with the Holy Spirit, just give it to God. And I am just amazed at how faithful God has been. And I've been surrounded by praying people in a beautiful church. But I'm saying, what you do in your workplace, don't despise it, don't look down on it, because where you are, heaven touches earth. Heaven touches earth. So we're going to... We're going to ask Sue, if Sue doesn't mind coming up again to get her wonderful guitar and her beautiful worship voice going. Would that be okay? Thank you very much. And that is beautiful. I love that. Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. You're blessing us. It's good. It is true. I love it. No, don't be sorry. No, it's absolutely beautiful. I'll get the ringtone off you later. It's really good. What I'd like to do right now is, as we worship, I'd like to pray with some people. I'd like to pray with some people. There are some people here who need to be reinstated. Some people here who you need to be reinstated because God's got things that he wants to do with you and through you and in you. And you know what? I'm one of those people. God is in the process of reinstating me at the moment. I'm in a time of recovery. I'm in a time of realignment. I'm in a time when God is just showing me some of the things that I need to. Anyway, realign. God needs to, there's some people here, and it might be everybody, that God wants to reinstate. And there may be other reasons why you need prayer, that you need that filling of the Holy Spirit. God, I'm going to ask you, as Sue's worshiping, I'm going to ask you to come out. For some of you, there are people that you just want to reach out your hand and lift them up, and maybe you just need that courage to be able to do that in your life. And I'd love to pray with you as well. And for some people, you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you just need, you say, Lord, what is this Holy Spirit thing? I need to be filled with it. It says that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke the name of Jesus that he had denied. And 3,000 were added to their number that day. So if you this morning, this is a place where there is no judgment. There is just the love of Jesus. And so I'd encourage you to come out. And it doesn't matter if you're a senior leader in Ormskirk Christian Fellowship, or if you've been a prophet for 1,000 years, or if you've just walked in off the street, you are welcome to the presence of God, where he wants to touch your life and reinstate you and say, I love you. I have a purpose for you. I have a place for you. And I want to do you good, and I want to do others good through you. I want to breathe my life into you, God says. I want to breathe my life into you. So thanks, Sue. And just come out right now, and we're going to pray with you.